Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. The title of our message today is Transformation, The Journey Begins. Last week we saw that we are on a journey of transformation. If you missed it, you can find it on our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, or podcast channels. Our key text was 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 18, I'll read all texts from the New International Version. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We learned that the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of all of God's children, transforming us into the image of Jesus. It's a process of transformation. It starts when we first put our faith in Jesus and decide to follow Him. And then it continues until we see Him face to face. It's a process of ever increasing glory as we become more and more like Jesus. Now, what this means practically is that our lives should be changing continually for the better, and that they should be changing significantly. You and I should be more like Jesus now than we were a year ago, and in a year's time, we should be even more like Jesus. We should not be surprised when people who haven't seen us for some time say things like, "What's happened to you? You've changed." We also learned that we have an active part to play in this transformation. The Apostle Paul spoke about his part using words like, "I press on," and "straining toward what is ahead." We find this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Then we saw that the Apostle Peter used the expression, "make every effort to add to your faith." 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then we were encouraged last Sunday to believe God's promise of transformation, and then to press on to take hold of that transformation. Today, we're going to look at how this journey of glorious transformation begins. Our journey begins with what the Bible calls salvation. When we put our faith in Jesus and decide to follow Him, something dramatic happens. Jesus called it being born again. It is the beginning of a new life. Listen to Jesus' words recorded by John. John chapter 3, verses 3 and then 6 to 8. "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Verse 6, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. When we are born again, we begin a brand new life with a brand new identity. We're not the same person anymore. The Apostle Paul likened this change to being recreated, becoming a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 records this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Now, this new creation, the person who has been born again, can be transformed into the image of Jesus. The old creation cannot be transformed. This is why we can see people who are religious in some ways, yet their lives are not being gloriously transformed. Perhaps they attend some church meetings. Perhaps they say some prayers. Perhaps they read or watch some Christian messages. They may even call themselves Christian. But their lives are not being transformed. They have not been born again. Now, let me try to illustrate the situation. Imagine for a moment that I have a car, but the engine barely runs. Now, I really want a car that runs well. So I buy a book about engines. I read it every day religiously, at least a page a day. But the engine stays broken. My religious reading didn't change the engine. So I decide I'm going to take my car to a workshop. I park it in the corner of the workshop, but I don't ask the mechanic to fix it. He comes to ask, may I help you? No, thank you. I'm just leaving my car there. After leaving it there for 3 months, the engine is still faulty. Going to the workshop didn't change the engine. Finally, I hand my car over to the mechanic. He examines it and he tells me, you need a new engine. I accept his diagnosis. I give him the keys and he replaces the engine. He then teaches me how to run in that new engine, how to take care of that new engine, how important it is to bring it in for regular servicing and maintenance. I follow his advice and soon I'm a really happy motorist. It's like having a brand new car. It's like that in our life and in our faith. Just like the example of the car, you and I, we can read the Bible, we can read or watch Christian messages, we can attend church meetings, but still fail to hand over the keys of our life to Jesus. So we don't experience the transformation until we allow Jesus to replace our engine. We may become religious, but we won't be transformed. Now, for those of us who are impressed by religious people, it's worth noting that Jesus faced the greatest opposition from religious people. They were very religious, but their hearts needed to be changed. Friends, we need to hand over the keys of our life to Jesus. We need to surrender our lives to him, saying, I know I can't fix what is broken inside of me. Please take this broken life and fix it. Please give me a new birth into a new life. Please make me a new creation. This complete surrender to Jesus is a demonstration of our faith in Jesus. You see, if we truly believe that Jesus came to save us from our sins and from the dominion of the devil, then we will trust him with our lives. This is true faith. It's not choosing a religion. It's not just believing that Jesus existed as a historical or a religious figure. We don't just believe in some theoretical sense. We now believe in him completely. We believe enough to surrender our lives to Him, to put our lives in His hands. Many years ago, Charles Blondin became famous for crossing the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He even crossed it pushing a wheelbarrow. It's reported that he once asked the crowd, "Do you believe that I can carry a person across the rope in this wheelbarrow?" And the crowd shouted, "Yes!" He then asked, "Who will get in the wheelbarrow?" No one believed in him that much. But sometime later, his manager put his faith in him and rode on his back as he crossed over the falls. Friends, if we truly believe that Jesus is who he said he is, then we will proverbially get in the wheelbarrow. We will truly trust him with our lives. We will put our lives into his hands, surrendering to him. Now, you may have noticed that I've been using the word surrender a lot. I've done so deliberately because Jesus calls us to surrender our lives to him. Listen to his words recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." This is the irony of the journey of transformation. We must first lose our life in order to find true life. We must lay down life as we know it so that we can find the glorious new life that Jesus has for us. If we hold on to that life as we knew it, then we will lose out on the transformed life. So the word surrender is really important. We need to surrender our lives to Jesus. Now that word surrender is also very important because we are coming under the rule of Jesus. Our new life is a new life under the rule of Jesus. Listen to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Until we believe in Jesus and surrender to him, we live under what the Bible calls the dominion of darkness. We may think that we're free, but actually we are not. We are far from free. The devil and his dark forces are ruling over us and oppressing us. Under his rule, we are driven to do what is wrong, even when we really want to do good, even when we try really hard to do good. We do not experience the glorious transformation that God offers us. We must first be rescued from our dominating master. Once we have been rescued from the devil's domination, Jesus becomes our master. And when Jesus is our master, the devil can no longer enslave us to his evil ways. So, the first step that we must take on the journey of transformation is to truly put our faith in Jesus and surrender our lives to his rule. Once we have done this, God makes us new. He sets us free from that grip of the devil and sin. We become new creatures and can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Our journey of transformation has begun. If you have not experienced the transforming work of Jesus in your life, I would encourage you to do two things. Firstly, I encourage you to re-examine your faith. Ask yourself questions like this. Do I really believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Do I really believe that his words are true? If the answer is no, and it may be, I encourage you to chat with a leader who you trust about your questions. There is nothing wrong with asking sincere questions, friends. In John chapter 3, we read that Nicodemus went to see Jesus with his questions. He struggled with Jesus' answers to his questions, but he must have worked through them, because in John chapter 19, we see him as one of the disciples who asked for permission to bury Jesus' body. There's nothing wrong with asking our sincere questions. We need to ask and find the answers to them. If the answer is yes, then I would ask you to examine your response to your faith. Ask yourself questions like these. Have I put my faith into action and surrendered my life to Jesus as my Lord? Have I decided to pick up my cross and follow Jesus? Have I decided to lay down my life as I know it so that Jesus can give me a new life? Secondly, I encourage you to take some small steps of faith. A lot of what I've spoken about in this message relates to us making decisions, and that is so important. But once we have made our decisions, we need to act upon them. So ask yourself this question: is there an area of my life that I know needs to change? Think about that and take your first steps to live out that change. If you have put your faith in Jesus and surrendered your life to his rule, then you are free from the dominion of sin and the devil. In the past, you could say, I can't help it, the devil made me do it. And it could be true. But now it is no longer true. You are now free from his oppressive domination. You don't have to do that anymore. The old has gone. That old self, may have tried really hard to change, but it couldn't. Your new self now has access to the power of God at work in you. As you take these small steps of faith, trust God to work his almighty power in you, and he will lead you into victory. You will see that area of your life change. Friends, let's start this new year taking hold of and experiencing the new life that God offers us. Let's keep on taking steps of faith as we trust God to gloriously transform us. Amen.